Celtics beat them. 107.94, Mike Snyder's take on what he saw coming up in sports for you here in about 4 minutes.
From your house to the White House, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Wills Ways to Save the Deal Boss, Matt Granite. Channel 3's Morning News is in, and finally, maybe the weather's going to break enough. Let's get out and at least think about some fun summertime. Matt, what you got for us?
Oh, I am ready to make this happen. So I've got a toy today, which is as good for big kids like myself as it is for teens and some of the younger members of our household. You got nieces, nephews, grandkids. Today, a deal on the world's first indestructible remote control helicopter. And these actually have an unbreakable certification to the point, Bill, where I have flown it high up like a drone, but also crashed it into various neighbors' homes. No problem.
I love playing with these things when I was a kid.
They're fun. And the interesting thing, in a lot of the tests that we've done, we ran a bunch of focus groups, and we had parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts bring their kids to the focus group. And the amazing thing is the kids were just as entranced and captivated as the adults were. And by the time we finished all of our focus groups, because I test everything extensively for Will's Ways to Save, the adults were having more fun. So this could be a nostalgic gift. It's a 3.5 channel Hercules Unbreakable Remote Control Gyro Helicopter. And these have a super strong polymer body. They fly really, really high. And they can take up to 200 pounds of force. That's how strong the world's most unbreakable helicopter happens to be. They usually retail for about $150. They are the best deal I have ever seen on these, $39.99.
Wow. Hey, bring the kid back in dad maybe for Father's Day, huh?
It'd actually be an awesome Father's Day gift. And the way they're designed with the LED lights and the various ways, it kind of goes, I used to build models with my dad, and this kind of brings me back to that a little bit. It's a lot of fun for a park flying. It's also a good hobby. A lot of adults are taking up different types of flight patterns as hobbies. This would be a great way to go.
Couple of clicks, WTAM.com, keyword save, you'll have it. The Deal Boss, Matt Granite, watch him on 3 this morning, back here same time tomorrow. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past on WTAM 1100. Here's Mike.
Good morning, Bill. LeBron James scored 21 points in the first quarter, but the Cavs only led by 4 after 1. Their lead was 7 at the half, and by the end of the third quarter, 7 would be their deficit.
Find Love for a catch and shoot 3. That's perfect. Kevin Love is heating up in this second half.
Hold on, that's not the one we wanted. That was Kevin Love in the second half that actually gave the Cavs a 2-point lead. But the Celtics would outscore the Cavs 36-22 in the third, 59-39 in the second half. And Boston rolls to a 107-94 win and a 2-0 lead in the series. They took LeBron James' big first quarter punch and did not falter, as their big man Al Horford put it.
We kept our poise and just kept playing. Our basketball, the way that we've been playing, tough on defense, moving the ball on offense.
And on how the game got away from the Cavs, LeBron said this.
Turnovers and, not defending for, a full shot clock, especially in that third quarter. We've had our third quarter woes this whole season, and tonight was another example of that.
Yeah, you get to the postseason, and your problems in a regular season seem to manifest. LeBron had 42-point triple-double, Kevin Love with 22 points, but that was really it, as no other starter was in double figures. In fact, the Cavs starting backcourt of J.R. Smith and George Hill had a total of 3 points, and you and I had as many as J.R. did. That's a problem. Celtics had 5 starters in double figures, led by Jaylen Brown with 23, and Boston in command of the series now, 2-0. Cavaliers have some time to try to recalibrate, as LeBron puts it, as Game 3 is not until Saturday night at the Cube. But the Celtics, now 9-0 at home. In the postseason, they have actually struggled on the road. That's a trend the Cavs need to see continue, but it really is about them right now. Can they catch up with this faster, athletic, youthful Boston team that is playing so well together? And the Cavaliers really relying on LeBron and Kevin Love. Tristan Thompson, decent minutes, but really not much else from anybody else as the Cavaliers go down. They've got some time to try to ponder a way to get out of it. Game 3, Saturday night, 8:30 at the Cube. No move up the draft ladder for the Cavs this year in the lottery last night. They held their eighth pick. That's where they'll pick overall. Top pick goes to Phoenix. In Motown, it was more of the same for the Indians bullpen. They blew an 8-3 lead as Andrew Miller is really struggling.
He just has no command right now of the fastball or the slider. Now the 3-1. Ball four, down and in, a slider, and the Tigers take the lead on the bases loaded walk. Three straight walks by Andrew Miller. 9-8, Detroit will have another pitching change.
And that would be the final. Tribe and Tigers wrap up their series today at 1:10. You can hear it right here. Trevor Bauer on the mound. Mariners second baseman Robinson Cano suspended for 80 games for violating baseball's drug policy. Coming up at 5:45, we'll hear what LeBron has to say and his mindset going into Game 3 on Saturday. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
NBC's Richard Engel reporting yesterday from the Gaza Strip as this story continues to play out. Bill Zimfer joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. We'll get to maybe what won't happen with North Korea. Let's first look at what's in front of us. Bill, overnight, Gaza, what's happened?
Well, things have calmed down significantly, Bill. There were about 4,000 protesters at the Gaza fence on Tuesday compared to about 40,000 on Monday. The other violence occurred in the West Bank where rallies were held at checkpoints going into Israel. There were two deaths reported yesterday in the West Bank. But as of this morning, things are reported to be a little calmer over there. Israel has now reopened the Gaza crossing, although there have been some trucks that have been turned back by the Palestinians trying to cross through into the Gaza area. That area had been set afire three times this month. So the good news is there is a calmer atmosphere this morning. However, there is a fear now that there may be more violence on the West Bank, especially during Ramadan, which got underway last night.
And the UN Security Council holding an emergency session about all this. Let's go to North-South Korea. What's not or what may be happening? What's up there?
Boy, this was something that everybody's been kind of waiting for to happen. Two things happened yesterday. Number one, North Korea called off a high-level meeting with South Korea, saying that they are upset with the joint military drills going on involving the United States and South Korea. There are two sets of military drills that are going on now, even though Kim Jong-un supposedly told Mike Pompeo and others that he was not concerned about these military drills. Then, North Korea released a statement saying if the United States is trying to get North Korea to give up their nuclear arsenal, that the meeting with Donald Trump on June 12th could be off. This is also something that that North Korea had intimated that they were not concerned about, that they were interested in denuclearization as well. But, Bill, it all comes back again to the definition of denuclearization. Now it appears that North Korea is saying, yeah, we will stop our weapons testing. However, we're not going to get rid of our arsenal that we already have.
Can Trump keep all this together? Our Bill Zimfer on it. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos joins me on President Trump on North Korea, Iran, a couple of other things, too. His candidates that he supported won in their primaries yesterday for Senate, Nebraska, as well as Pennsylvania. Approval numbers also hovering around 50%. This, while still a lot of the media, a lot of the country, not happy at all, Alex, but he continues to succeed, looks like.
Donald Trump, whether you agree or disagree, is changing the world. He is reshaping the Middle East. All of a sudden, Donald Trump has done what every president for the last 40 years has said, recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You're seeing Arabs and Israel work together to deal with a nuclear Iraq. North Korea coming to the table. Who would have thought? So, yes, Donald Trump is making history even as we watch, and he may be doing the one thing the Washington established would find unforgivable. He may be succeeding.
In so many ways. I saw one talking head say, you know, Trump's got us somewhere between nuclear war in the Middle East with Iran and maybe a Nobel Peace Prize with the Korean Peninsula, and that probably says it best.
Says it best. Well, it's an uncertain world, and the one thing Trump is going to do is he's going to project American strength. And at the end of the day, whether it is in Iraq or North Korea, that may be the safest route. So this uncertain president, this erratic man, by projecting strength, may end up making the world a safer place. Certainly, I would say it's better than what we've been doing, is pretending that weakness is strength.
That's on the foreign front. You know, domestically, the economy, I always think, is right. Well, what's right in front of you? If you're old enough to have a child, can they find a job? Is your neighbor happy? Your house is moving? Is the stock market? And really, the economy is doing well right now, Alex.
And people are doing well. I saw some numbers the other day, not gross domestic output, not what the country is creating as a whole, but gross output, which is business-to-business activity. And that grew at 7.5% the end of the last quarter of last year. Now, that usually means that 6, 7, 8 months from that point, you see that reflected in everybody's paychecks, in our daily economies. We may have an economic boom by the time the November election comes around.
With that in mind, I'll get you out of here on this. Approval numbers, with all the noise around him that he causes himself and the media attention. I mean, approval numbers, he's hovering near 50%, isn't he?
He's hovering near 50%. The generic ballot, when you ask people, what party would you like to vote for, Republican or Democrat for Congress, that gap is closing. Republicans are getting a little tighter. So, yes, it's having an impact on people's daily lives. Donald Trump may be doing the one thing that the media, the left, late-night talk show hosts just never imagined could happen. He may be scoring some points and succeeding.
Political analyst Alex Castellanos. Thanks, Alex.
Good to be with you.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Air travel, the topic. Rick Cini, our guy, founder, CEO at faircompare.com. Okay, different situations when it comes to planning a flight. Months off, you're thinking about a trip, or maybe something comes up rather quickly and you need to get out of town. Rick, you got a few tips for us on that?
Sure, yeah, a couple things. At the last minute, your best bet, one of the best bets is to use your free tickets. Usually anything over $425 round trip, you should be looking at potentially using your miles. Most people don't know this, but their friends and family can also get them a ticket as well, so a little bartering can be done there as well. Another good tip is to actually look for packages with air and hotel. If you see that air ticket at the last minute that's $900, they actually pre-negotiate airfare for the last minute for some packages. So the air and the hotel together may be $500 or $400, especially if you pick a lower end hotel, and you can just toss the hotel portion of that and you can still save some money doing that. On the other point, if you want to go out and buy your ticket for a long time away from now, just be aware that you can actually shop too early. If you shop over about 5 months, especially for domestic travel, they're going to sell you the fourth, fifth, and sixth cheapest price because they haven't started managing the cheapest seats yet. So you definitely want to actually buy a little bit later than that, but not too late. So the proper time to buy is between 1 month and 3 months before departure for domestic flights.
All right, with that in mind, let me just take you through an example. Let's say I'm looking at Orlando late summer, and maybe I can't pick my seat yet, but I sure can pick my class on where I want it, what time I want to board, and how much I want to spend. Would you lock that in now too, or try and move later, or what?
Yeah, no, I think you're at the tail end of summer. You're just on the edge of that 3 month window. You're perfect to start shopping. You don't have to buy right away, but you check out the prices. And by the way, Southwest Airlines filed a summer sale for basic June 5th through the end of October for Tuesday, Wednesday departures, $49 to $129 each way, depending on the distance, and all the other airlines will be matching this. So essentially a great time to start shopping right now for those summertime travel. That sale's only for the next, I think it goes through Friday, so do it. But early on is the best time to do it because it's going to be a lot of demand for that summertime travel coming up, especially for people that have procrastinated a little bit.
Get on it. Be ready to save. Good news. Breaking. Rick Cini, he is at faircompare.com. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, thanks.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills, one of our, I'm sorry you were on hold for so long. Greg Stebbin writes on tech culture at Men's Health. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Stebbin. And I mentioned being on hold. There's nothing like being on hold and customer service. Greg's got a few tips for us this morning on why waste your time listening to the on hold music. You're going to help us here, right?
Thank you for not leaving me on hold too long. It makes my blood boil.
It is. You know, when someone answers the phone anymore, you're surprised. I mean, how many times you call somebody, you think you're going to get voicemail, and they say, hello, hello? You know, oh, I thought it was going to be voicemail. No, I'm actually here.
Yeah, it's a human being at customer service. The service part of customer service is sometimes challenging. And I have been thinking about what I'm about to describe for a long time, and I got to put it to use a few days ago.
Okay.
When you call customer service, first of all, I mean, let's just walk through the experience chronologically. So you go through option one, and then once you've chosen option one, then you have to choose option three. And then you have to choose option seven.
And I'm lost. And right.
Sometimes just going through that phone tree, I look at the time on my phone, and sometimes it's 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And if you did the wrong thing, you have to go back and start all over again. It's punitive, right?
I love the first part of the announcement is, listen carefully, our options have changed. Well, I've never called. How would I know what? Yes. Like, I keep track of this, right?
Thank you very much. And the other one is, you know, unusual call volume. It's not unusual
call volume.
You just fired everybody.
They should say
low volume of helpers.
Exactly. They should say, we don't have enough people here to answer the phone, so you're going to pay for our lack
care.
Of. Yeah, we don't care about you. Just hold on, and if you hold on for dear life, we may eventually get to you. Okay, there's the problem, Stebbin. How are you going to help us?
So I had a light bulb moment because I've been having some problem with a cell phone carrier. I won't mention the name, but they use a lot of blue in their branding.
Got it.
And this is a $435 problem.
Nice.
Because I sent a phone back to them, and they say they never got it.
Oh, okay.
And I have over the phone repeatedly spent a lot of time not only talking to people, but then sending them emails showing them and validating that not only did I send them the phone, but I have proof that shows that they received it.
Here's the tracking.
Every time. Yeah, that's right. And so during these calls, I am promised every time that we will take care of it and we will call you back.
Absolutely.
They never call back and they never take care of it. And it's $435. It's not a trivial thing. So a light bulb moment for me. I realized that if I went online and chatted with them instead, I would have actual transcript at the end of the call. No, not the call, the chat.
The chat, right.
And that the next time they didn't do what they said, at least I could show them documentation that somebody promised to take some steps that had not been taken.
You feel better.
Because when you use the chat, well, not only that you feel better, but when you use chat, at the end of the chat, everything is written. And you can then copy or email the chat transcript to yourself. So you've actually documented the conversation, whereas when you talk on the phone, there is no documentation. There's no documentation of what you and I are saying right now.
Good point.
They may record the call, but I don't have a copy of the record, so I can't use it to help me solve their problem.
Normally, when you call, they'll say, by the way, most of your problems can be taken care of on our website anyway. So you're suggesting, well, let's just...
And they're right.
And they're right. Let's go there and start that little chat. Okay.
Well, right. And there are many places where you can chat with customer service, which I think is another part of the discovery here. Many websites have a chat function on their website, or many companies.
Yeah.
But even if you don't want to go to their website, almost all large companies now have customer service on Twitter and on Facebook. So you can actually use Facebook Messenger and direct message companies. And one of the nice things about using Facebook or Twitter is you can kind of embarrass them into talking to you. Because if you tell a really good story publicly about what's going wrong, you'll be amazed at how quickly they call you. Because they don't want you to continue complaining about their bad, obvious customer service in a public venue like social media.
So you're telling me at the end of the day, Bill, just deal with reality. There's nobody on the end of the line anyway, so why get frustrated? Just go to your keyboard, start clicking away. You'll probably get some service that way.
Yeah, that is actually what I'm saying. And if you're really desperate to get a fix, or you're in a hurry, or you're just angry, frankly, I will cop to it. I get really angry when this kind of stuff happens. Call and go to chat at the same time.
Yeah, that's good. Both channels.
Yeah. Use both channels. And, you know, you can even be talking to someone and typing at the same time, because having two people work on your problem is probably going to give you resolution a lot faster than if you're just going through one channel.
Greg Stebbin writes on tech culture at Men's Health, many other places. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Stebbin. Good tips. Hope you get the phone back sometime. Thank you very much.
It's great to be.
All right, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Got a big event coming up in a couple of weeks that will help raise some money for a serious topic that we as a society need to talk more about, and that is the problem when it comes to suicide. It's called Stand Up Together, an evening of comedy honoring Nick Ramsey. First, and I've got in studio with me Jeff Davis, Scott Osicki, and also from Shawna Heights with us from the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation. Good to see you guys, first of all.
Thanks for having us.
All right, who wants to tell me first about Nick Ramsey?
So Nick Ramsey was a lifelong Lakewood resident. Mm-hmm. He graduated from Lakewood High School. He was an All-American wrestler and football player. Graduated from Baldwin Wallace with a bachelor's in science. And unfortunately, and also he was a great comedian, but unfortunately he passed away from suicide in January.
And he's not alone in that someone that looked like everything's going well, and for whatever reason, they wanted to end, right?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And you and I are talking about it, which is a part of what we want this to happen.
Absolutely.
Our theme in society,
show.
Right?
Right. And our theme for the show is change the conversation. Or have the conversation.
Lakewood Civic Auditorium, Saturday, July 21st. So this is an event that you and some other comedians, Squire, and some other guys have been doing over the years, but we want to get it bigger, right?
Well, this is the first year that we've done a big event like this.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this event will raise money for?
The Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation and the Adams Board of Cuyahoga County Suicide Prevention Coalition.
All right, Scott, let's start first with the Adams Board. And yes, it's really an umbrella group, but in many ways touches so many people that need help, right?
Yes, that's true. We serve over 10,000 people in Cuyahoga County, and we provide suicide prevention services. We have a crisis hotline, which is available to everyone, and that's 623-6888. So if somebody is feeling suicidal or depressed or they just want to talk to somebody, they can call that number anytime, 24 hours a day, whether you're adult or a child, and they'll be glad to talk you through some things and perhaps hook you up with some services as well.
You work in this daily. You know, most of us touch that and come back, touch and come back maybe. Mm-hmm. It's out there. You need people to realize that there is help though, right?
Yes, that's something that we need. We, especially among men, of the 2016 suicides, there were 174 deaths. 140 of them were male. So we need men to realize that it's okay to talk to someone, reach out to somebody.
Men have all the answers. I don't need to talk to anybody. I know I can work it out myself, right?
Right.
And then you just keep going downhill.
That's what they think, but we need them to reach out and get help.
All right. Now, Shawna, you work over at the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, so you do a lot of this work all the time then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, or OSPF for short, we are a 501c3, and we're actually based out of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
We got involved in this event when Jeff, of course, reached out to us by phone. But what we focus on is really the prevention of suicide prevention all across the state. We do that by working with suicide prevention coalitions. Cuyahoga County is one of those coalitions here, obviously in your county.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 50 suicide prevention coalitions located all throughout Ohio. Some of them covering multiple counties.
And there's different ways to raise money for what we're doing with this, right?
Yeah,
which is
absolutely
what you see throughout the state.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of what we do as a foundation is to encourage coalitions to work in their communities to decide what is most needed to prevent suicide in those areas. So
okay.
Do you need to focus on schools, colleges, or adult men? And right now we know that adult men, unfortunately, in the state of Ohio have the highest suicide rates, and so we're trying to really raise the conversation particularly on that. For those of you who are interested in supporting this event, we're looking for sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, though, the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, you can always go to our website, which is Ohio SPF, so that's O-H-I-O,
okay.
SPF, Suicide Prevention Foundation, so ohiospf.org. And you can always donate on there. You can always also access resources, statistics, and information on suicide on our website as
okay.
well.
Now, the event that we're having that we're talking about here is coming up, Jeff, in July, right? July
yes.
21st?
Absolutely. July 21st from 4 p.m. to midnight.
Lakewood Civic Auditorium.
Yes, sir.
Bill Squire, is he funny? I sit by him in meetings. I hear he's a comedian.
He's not that funny. He's famous, though. No,
why
I'm just kidding, Bill. No, Bill,
no,
you're great.
No, I'm not
great.
Kidding. Seriously, when you're, you know, when you're with Squire and he introduces himself, I'm a comedian. Well, I'll decide.
Right.
I mean, don't tell me up front you're funny, right? Let me decide.
Well,
now, see, that's funny.
That is true. That's funny. Bill is one of the hardest working comedians I've ever met. So he's an excellent guy, and I really enjoy his comedy. But it is subjective, of course. That's why we're bringing so many comedians. So you're going to get what you like out of this.
All right, July 21st, WTAM.com, keyword deals. We've got for you a couple tickets for the price of one. But when you're there that night, too, it's another great way just to give back and help raise more money, right?
That's absolutely. We're and we're also selling raffle tickets.
Okay.
We're giving away a 2018 Ford Mustang from Ganley Ford West.
Nice.
We have gift certificates to restaurants all over the city. We've got... just lots of cool prizes. It's going to be hard not to enjoy the night.
The memory of Nick Ramsey will continue forever then, right, through this?
Absolutely.
And so many others that families have been touched.
Absolutely.
When it comes to suicide. Okay. July 21st, the event, Lakewood Civic Auditorium, WTAM.com, keyword deals. All the info up there with some other links for you to know more about and get involved. Bottom line, though, Scott, while I got you, just look, if you're listening, radio is a one-on-one medium, and there's something different between sad and depressed. And you need to reach out. That's another bottom line I want to make sure we get across, right?
Yes, that is the bottom line. If you are feeling depressed, if you're experiencing any type of symptoms of depression, whether you're not eating, you're not sleeping, or you're eating more, go ahead and reach out to somebody. If you're having thoughts that life would be better without you, we want you to know that is not true. And if you don't want to call the hotline at 623-6888, you could always text 4HOPE, the number 4HOPE, to 741-741, and there's a certified counselor professional on the other line to help you as well.
Well said. Scott, Jeff, and Shauna, thanks, guys. Appreciate
it.
Hope a big night. WTAM.com, keyword deals. Find out more.
We have everything it takes to win.
Yeah, it still sounds good. I don't know. Complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington Bank, one of bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. 107-94 loss last night, down 2-0 in Boston. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Campy Russell. You've slept on it a few hours. Do you feel any different this morning than last night, Campy?
Well, actually, I do. I feel much better this morning. But the good news is I just think when you look at this series, Boston did exactly what they needed to do. They needed to take both games there. We have the same opportunity coming back here to Cleveland on Saturday as well as on, I think it's Monday. We just have to play it with a little bit more spirit, a little bit more toughness, and be the team that we're capable of being. And that is, just coming together and playing good, solid basketball. But the Celtics did exactly what they need to do, and now we have to do the same thing.
Well, they did, Campy, and the Cavs need to get more people involved. Boy, watching Boston, they've really had everybody contribute. You know, you look back last night, Campy, Jaylen Brown had a big first quarter. Tatum was big in the second quarter. Smart in the second half with Rozier. And, of course, we know with the Cavs, it's pretty much been LeBron. Cavs need to get more guys involved, don't they?
Well, there's no doubt about that, Michael. But it comes down to, you look at both teams. Both teams got two various, very different systems in terms of how they play. You look at the Celtics, they get a lot of guys involved into the game because of their system. You look at the Cavaliers, yes, it's we have to definitely get more guys involved into the game. But I think the only way that you can do that is to speed up the pace of the game, as Coach Lou talks about quite a bit. We have to get easy baskets by being more disruptive out there on the floor. We cannot allow a team like the Boston Celtics to kind of continue to dominate us in the paint. You know, last night they had 50 points in the paint for our 42. And that game before that, they had 60 points in the paint. So there's some areas that we have to clean up. And if we can clean those areas up, particularly in terms of the defensive side of the ball, as well as getting more guys engaged into the game, I think we definitely have an opportunity to hold serve here in our building as well.
Campy, Coach Lou talked afterwards about the Cavs needing to be more physical, but he also made the expression that the Celtics are gooning up the game. How do you interpret what he meant by that?
Well, to me, it's real simple. They're just playing hard all the time on both ends of the court. Whether you're off on the offensive side, they're playing hard in terms of moving the ball, setting picks, and running a lot of misdirection pass plays. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they're just getting into us, meaning that they are being disruptive to us. Yes, LeBron has had 42 points and Kevin had 22, but they're doing a good job of just being disruptive, you know, not taking us out of our flow, taking us out of our pace. And the other thing they're doing a good job of is they're doing a good job of valuing the ball. They've only had five assists last night. Five turnovers last night to our 15. So when you give up that many turnovers in terms of 15 and they only commit five, then you put yourself in this type of situation. But definitely when you look at the Celtics, they are just a team that comes out and plays hard all the time, and you have to be able to compete with that.
Campy, is this a little break for the Cavs, the fact that there's no game now until Saturday and they are coming home and LeBron said they need to dig in? What are your thoughts about these next few days, what Coach Lou's challenge is?
Well, I think that's a break for everybody. You know, they kind of, as LeBron said, recalibrate. Because there's no doubt, you know, that there's some things that we can do, and that is starting with getting more guys involved into the game, taking care of the ball more, be more physical out there. You know, just get everybody on the same page and playing at that same pace that we need to play at. So we got some days to get some rest, number one. Number two, we're back home. Our fans of 20,562 definitely will come out ready to go, and trying to give them the energy that they need to sustain themselves for these next two games. So it just boils down to the Cavs. Take care of the ball. Play hard. Don't give up 60 points or 50 points in the paint. And just be who we are, a team that has the ability to move on and win two straight games in a row.
Campy Russell with his take on the 107-94 loss. You can see more at wilsonsnyder.com. Campy, thanks. Tom Hamilton this morning with your Indians update on WTAM 1100. Morning, Hammy.
Good morning, guys.
Guys, we keep talking about the bullpen. Tom, you got to keep using them, right? You got to continue to have faith. They can figure it out at some point.
Yeah, you know, Tito said that on the pregame show. You can't run away from them because, you know, these are the guys that you have, and these guys have done it, you know, for the most part, not all of them, obviously, but they've done it here for the most part the last couple of years. And I think Andrew Miller is just a case of, you know, the rust is showing when you're out 15 days and, you know, you try to come back. And I think Andrew Miller also is trying a little bit too hard, only because he knows what's been going on with this bullpen. And he knows how important he is to this ball club. But, you know, you can't go out and find yourself five new relief pitchers. But I think that's been the biggest problem, Bill. It's not one guy or two guys. It's almost been like a virus.
Yeah, you know, and Tom, I think we're seeing with Miller the case of why we see most often pitchers go on a rehab stint before they come up to the majors, don't we?
Yeah, but I think also you see, too, Mike, where the Indians are at, in that they felt even a rusty Andrew Miller was going to be better than some of the options they had currently with the ball club. So it's kind of been the perfect storm, only it's not working out, so to speak, because, you know, it's, again, not just been one guy. It doesn't seem to matter. Now, the encouraging thing was what Neil Ramirez did last night, and that's what you have to do, as Tito said. You hope to find a couple of guys that emerge here, get hot, and get on a roll, because as we know with bullpens, they're probably the most inconsistent part of a ball club from year to year. And what a guy has done maybe for one or two years in a positive scenario doesn't necessarily guarantee that it'll be that way the next season. So, you know, it's obviously a concern, guys, because you win and lose games in the major leagues from the seventh inning on.
And, Tom, we talk a lot about being in the right division, so there's a long way to go. We all know that. I think we're all waiting for this team to just kind of get on a roll. It just hasn't happened yet to this point.
No, you know what? You don't get on a roll, Mike, until you pitch well. You know, and I think that's always been the byproduct of the Indians' 22-game winning streak last year, 14-game winning streak the year before. You get on a roll when you get consistently good pitching. Now, the starting pitching has been pretty much consistently good, but we just haven't lived this side of life here for a while, where everything from the seventh inning on is not a guarantee. You know, we're so used to the last couple of years, if the Indians had the lead after six innings, the game was over. And, you know, that's why you're not able to get on a roll right now. But to your point, nobody else in the division is either. It's amazing. We're sitting here, you know, in mid-May, and there's nobody in the division that's even a 500 ball club. The Indians are fortunate in that regard.
Bauer today, he struggled out last time. He didn't get into the fifth inning, did he, last time?
No, yeah. No, and you know that at least has been the exception. You know, with the top four starters,
right?
You know, they've been consistently getting seven innings. But what happens now? You have that domino effect, Bill. Is suddenly you're pushing the starters a little bit longer because you don't have that same confidence level of going to somebody in the seventh inning. So, you know, hopefully it works itself out here real soon, because after today, it's big boy baseball. The next nine games are against Houston and the Cubs. So it's not like anyone's going to feel bad for the Indians. They're just going to have to get this thing turned around.
Big boy Jim Rosenhaus will join you for the call. 1:10 first pitch. Work that in at some point if you can. I'll know it was a shout out to me, okay?
You know, for you, Bill, I'll do anything.
You're the man. Hammy, thanks, pal.